And now, The Life of Mary Southern. True happiness must always be purchased in some way, and the happiness Mary and Max are enjoying today was bought with weeks of worry and suspense. Worry because the townspeople had allowed Gerald Proust to influence them to a point where they wanted Max removed from his position. And suspense because Jeffrey Barton was undecided whether or not to close a big business proposition, one that would go far toward making the people feel differently about Max. Yesterday, Mr. Barton gave the press his long-awaited announcement that he would build a new factory in Sandy. He hasn't signed the legal papers as yet, because as he told Mary and Max, he had something more important to discuss with them first. It has been a little over an hour since Barton made his announcement. He hasn't revealed the important matter he wished to discuss because Mary learned that he'd left Chicago without breakfast. And unfortunately, his train didn't carry a diner. She's insisted that he come up to the house for breakfast, and they're there now.
Mrs. Sanders, I don't know when anything has tasted as good as this coffee.
Well, no wonder, Mr. Barton. Going without breakfast till almost noon.
Boy, I'll tell you, this coffee tastes good to me, too, sir.
Why, Max, you had a hearty breakfast.
No, I didn't taste it. You know, I was worried then.
I know how you feel, Max. Happiness does give everything a new flavor.
Oh, you said it, pal. It sure put the sugar in this cup of coffee.
Max, you're a born philosopher.
We all seem to be in a philosophical mood this morning.
Well, I know we're all in a happy mood.
Oh, I'll say.
I'm positive I just haven't touched down since we left the office.
You know, I got that same feeling. Oh, I'm raring to get to work on that factory of yours, Mr. Barton.
We've plenty of time to clear up the few remaining details there. I told you I had something more important on my mind. I have.
Yeah. Mary and I have been wondering about that.
Well, I'll begin at the beginning.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Barton. Wonder who on earth that can be at the door.
It's all right, Mary. It's all right. Now you stay right where you are, and I'll go see you.
All right. I can't wait for slow folks to answer that doorbell. I let myself in.
Holy smokes, Pablin. You don't have to tear the house down.
You didn't give us a chance to get there, Daddy.
Oh, how are you, Daddy?
Well, it isn't Mr. Barton. I didn't see you right away. How are you, sir?
Oh, very well, thank you. And you?
Oh, I couldn't be better. See, I just read the news about you closing this deal with Max here. Oh. I'm so happy I could do one of them jitterbug dads.
Well, don't tell me the Sentinel has the news out already.
Hey, what they do? Run an extra?
No, I read it on the little ticker board they have in their window.
Well, that's best reporting, anyhow.
Well, golly, this is real news. I wouldn't be surprised if the town declares a legal holiday.
Well, we've declared a holiday, Daddy. Come on, sit down and have some coffee to celebrate. Yeah, huh?
Don't mind if I do, Mary, darling.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Barton. You were just about to tell us something when the doorbell rang.
Oh, well, it's keep until after the coffee, Mrs. Sanders.
All right, I'll bring in a nice fresh pie.
Oh, good.
Hey, boy, this place is busy today.
Goodness, I should say. I'll answer down the way to the kitchen, ma'am.
Yeah, all right, Daddy. Okay.
Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Brown. How are you? Yes. Yes, he has. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, thank you ever so much. I know how you felt all along. All right, I'll tell him. He'll be pleased that you called. And remember us to Mr. Brown. All right, Mrs. Brown. Goodbye. Was Mrs. Brown, Max?
Huh?
She wanted to congratulate you about the fact.
Oh, well, say, that was darn nice of her.
Certainly the whole town has heard about it.
It ain't very large, Mr. Barton. News gets around.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get the coffee.
Yep, okie-dokie, Mary, okie-dokie. Say, listen, maybe we ought to have some champagne at a time like this.
Huh? Coffee's good enough, Max. If you want anything stronger, just look at Mary's eyes.
Huh?
They're sparkling, so I declare they're near blind to push.
Daddy has our idea about happiness turning water into wine, Max.
Yeah, it sure does, too.
And then she goes again.
Yep. Oh, boy, that's a doorbell this time. I'll answer it.
Hiya, Max.
Well, hi, Danny.
I hear you finally did it.
Yeah, sir. Boy, it's in the bag. Come on in.
Gee whiz, you'd think it was Armistice Day, the way people are crowding around the Sentinel office. They've got a special bulletin.
Yeah, Daddy just told us. He came sailing in here on high.
Well, don't ask me how I got here. I bet I covered 10 blocks in 3 minutes flat.
Well, come on in the dining room. Mr. Barton is there. We brought him over for breakfast.
breakfast. Well, yeah. Say, it's almost lunch.
Well, he left Chicago so early, he didn't get a chance to eat.
Do I hear that young pug of mine out there?
Yep, it's the chip off the old blockhead, Dad.
Well, that wisecracking, or I'll do a little witching down.
How are you, Danny?
Oh, I'm swell, yeah. Mr. Barton. Sure. I just heard the announcement about your new factory.
Yeah. Ain't that something, Danny?
Boy, I'll say it is.
Boy, these bells are driving me nuts.
All right,
thanks, honey, thanks. Well, it's been either the door or the phone all morning.
Oh, quit beeping. Huh? Folks are so tickled, they probably want to congratulate you.
Hey, don't you worry. I ain't sore, Daddy. I ain't sore.
Max hollers most when he's happiest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
Lou,
just now offering his congratulations.
Oh, Rube. Well, tell him that we'll buy a new cab in the interest of the backbones of the town. Hey, listen, do you need any help out there, Tuts?
No, I'm coming in now, dear. Boy, doesn't the coffee smell good?
Oh,
hello, Danny.
Hiya, Mary. Congratulations on your husband's business deal.
Thank you. Sit down and celebrate with
us. Here, wait a minute. I'll take your tray, Mary.
Oh, careful, Mary.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Well, these are real family gatherings.
Yeah, like old times.
Not quite, Danny. There's one pretty important member missing.
Yes, Danny, I know. Phyllis.
Danny, as soon as we're through, I'll run over and see her.
Yep, yeah, sure. We'll all go over, Danny.
Well.
That'll be fine. You'll have more coffee, Mr. Barton.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Here, Daddy. Yours with plenty of cream.
Thanks, honey.
No cream for my Mac.
No. I like a He-Man drink.
Oh, is that so? Then I'll take mine straight, too.
Oh, don't let Mac tease you, Danny. You'd be a He-Man even if you took cream.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, how about us drinking to the new factory?
Huh? I'm right with you, pal.
We'll all drink to that.
All right.
It's going to mean something for everyone in Sanders.
Gee. Maybe even for my little son.
Hey, listen. We'll see that it does, Ken.
Say, I bet once things get settled, I'll be able to open up my hotel.
Why, of course. We have to have a hotel here. Why don't you open it right away?
Well, we kind of thought we'd better wait until everything was signed and all.
Oh, don't worry a bit. The papers are as good as signed.
Well, if you people will pardon me, I'm going home. Huh? Phyllis is all by herself, and I hate to leave her like that.
Wait a minute, son. I started to tell Mary and Max about something. I've been so busy here, I didn't have an opportunity to go on. I'd like to talk now because this will concern you.
Well, sure, I'll wait.
I don't think I told you why I missed my train yesterday. It was because I met a very old friend, Dr. Louis DeRoy.
Dr. DeRoy?
Mm-hmm.
Why, that's the famous European specialist who's been lecturing in this country.
Yes.
Sure, I read about him. Well, he's the top.
Yes, he's the best man in his line. I took the liberty of discussing your wife's case with him.
You talked about Phyllis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, golly, what did he say?
Well, he can't say much unless he examines her. Would your doctor mind if he did?
What do you mean, mind?
If the great Dr. DeRoy examined her. Oh, I should say
not. Oh, John would be thrilled to have him do it.
Well, sure.
Then I'm going to do my best to bring him here. If she has one chance in 1,000, he's the man who will recognize it.
Oh, gee, Mr. Barton. If you could get him to look at my Phyllis, why, I'd do anything.
Oh, Danny, darling.
I'll try, Danny. I expect to hear from him this evening.
I'll answer it. You go right ahead and tell Danny about the doctor.
Sure.
All right. Hello? Why, how do you do, Mr. Proust? Why, yes, he's here. Oh, of course you may speak to him. Just a moment. Mr. Barton, Mr. Proust is on the phone. He wants to speak to you.
Mr. Proust? That's strange. I wonder how he knew I was here, or even in town.
Well, you see, this is a small town, Mr. Barton.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll take
it. Yes, certainly. Yes.
Hey, now, what do you suppose that old troublemaker Proust is looking for?
If he's trying to spoil
things... Now, take it easy, kid, take it easy. He ain't going to spoil nothing for
us. No, of course not, Danny. But he has something in mind. I could tell the way he spoke.
Oh, no, I'd like to meet him on a dark night.
Oh, you and me both, Danny.
Mr. Barton's coming back. Didn't talk very long.
Now that Mr. Proust is certainly a mysterious person.
Oh, yeah? How come?
He says he must see me immediately.
Well, what do you know about that? That's strange.
It sounded strange to me, too. I suppose I might as well go over and see what he has to say. After all, I haven't anything to lose. You haven't anything to lose, Mr. Barton. But those people in the room with you,
They had everything to lose, especially if Gerald Proust has figured some way to switch your decision regarding the factory proposition. For the sake of healthier gums and a brighter, lovelier smile, won't you look at your toothbrush tonight after you brush your teeth? Does it show a faint tinge of pink? Then take that as a warning, for that's pink toothbrush, a sign that your gums may be getting flabby and unhealthy. See your dentist and abide by his advice. But the chances are your dentist will say your trouble isn't serious. He probably will explain that because the foods we eat these days are mostly soft foods, our gums tend to become soft and unhealthy from lack of exercise. And so, you should use Ipana toothpaste with massage twice a day, like this. After you brush your teeth with Ipana, put a little extra Ipana on brush your fingertip and gently massage your gums. For in that way, you give them more exercise with the toothpaste specially designed for massage. And so you help make them firmer and healthier, help make your teeth stronger, help make your smile more lovely and alluring. Start using Ipana with massage tonight. Get an economical tube of Ipana toothpaste from your druggist today. You'll want your radio tuned in at the same time tomorrow when Jeffrey Barton pays a visit to the Proust and we learn what drastic means Gerald Proust is taking to upset Max's plan. Listen then to The Life of Mary Southern.